Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 20. Second Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward, and fed them, but went not in unto them. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. Then said the king to Amasa, "Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy lord's servants, and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us." And there went out after him Joab's men, and the Kerethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them. And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him, but Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, "He that favoreth Joab, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab." And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him, when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. When he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth Ma'akah, and all the Beerites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth Ma'akah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear what I say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, Art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, Hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake, saying, They were wont to speak in old time, saying, They shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Now Joab was over all the host of Israel, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Kerethites and over the Pelethites, and Adoram was over the tribute, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was the recorder, or remembrancer, literally, the historian, and Sheba was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests, and Ira, also the Jairite, was a chief ruler about David. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we saw then at the close of the last chapter that we were sowing seeds of discord. Now those seeds of discord come to fruition in chapter 20. Sheba, notice what tribe he is from. He is a Benjamite. That is, that he is of the household and family line of Saul. Not that he's a direct descendant of Saul, but he's homeboys with Saul, if you will. And so he's already got some animosity against David. You remember how that animosity blossomed out in Shimei. So now we see it blossoms out in a different way in Sheba, in that he gathers up a troop of men with him, and they say, well, first of all, he blows a trumpet. That is, I have an important announcement to make. He blows the trumpet, and he says, we have no part in David. Israel, everyone to your tents. And what that meant was, you guys go to your own tents and rule yourselves. We have no part with David. And so notice then that the men of Judah, they stuck with David, but everyone else departed. So then, David came to his house after that, and we notice his kind treatment of those concubines that had been defiled by Absalom. They cannot be restored to their former station, but they can be cared for. And so David does so. He goes as far as he is able to go in kindness, leaving them in his household and caring for them. They are, however, shut up in quote-unquote widowhood. That is, they will be without husbands until the day of their death because they have been defiled. All right, so then in verse 4, we have the king said to Amasa. Now, Amasa was that one that Absalom had chosen to be his general, the relative of Joab's that David had appointed upon his return to Jerusalem. So he says to Amasa, we should gather up a force and get after this guy, Sheba, because I'm telling you right now, if we don't put this rebellion down, what happened with Absalom will be small potatoes. We'll lose the whole nation. It will all be divided. So Amasa gathers up a force. Now he says to Amasa, come back in 3 days and we'll go forth together, right? Come back to the appointed place and we'll all go forth. Well, it takes Amasa longer than 3 days to do what David charged him with doing. Now, I am of the opinion that Amasa is not rebelling here. It is simply taking longer than what David had planned for Amasa to do his job. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Amasa is doing here. Some commentators you'll read, they'll say, well, Amasa was slipping over to the side of Sheba. I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true at all. So after the 3 days, David says to Abishai, Joab's brother, well, we better gather up that force. Amasa is not back yet. There's no suspicion, I don't think, in David's command to Abishai here. Oh, we better... Okay, we've lost Amasa. You take it up. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying is, we're losing time here. We need to make haste. Amasa has not come back within the appointed time, but the appointed time needs to stand. Let's gather the force and let's get out in the field. Let's get a jump on it. And so I think that's what's going on here. And there are several commentators that support that. So that's what Abishai does. He gathers that force and he moves forward. Well, notice that Abishai doesn't go alone. It seems where Abishai goes, his brother Joab goes with him. And notice that Joab brought with him some of the very mighty men. They're still loyal to Joab, oh captain, my captain kind of thing. And so they have not left Joab's side. And so when Joab goes, I'm sure that both David and Abishai are not going to look at Joab and say, what are you doing here? Because he's brought a significant force with him that they will need in the battle. Okay, so these are the practicalities, I think, that we're looking at here. No one tells Joab to go home, because if Joab goes home, many of the mighties go home with him. So out they go, And notice they get to a certain point and Amasa joins them in the field and begins leading the army. Okay, this tells me that Amasa was still busy on the errand. And when he saw the army, he said, okay, they've simply preempted my coming back. Let's get after it together. And so Amasa is perfectly content to lead Abishai and Joab and all of their men into war. No problem. Amasa's content to do that. All right, so now we have the device of Joab, this guy. All right, so here's what he does. There was a way that you could dress yourself as a soldier such that all of your weaponry was secure. I mean, think of what they did. There were times when they would sheath their sword, they'd mount their shield, and they'd have to take off running. Well, you can't have stuff falling, you can't have your ordnance falling off of you while you're running, you know, going to some battle. You get there and, oh no, what happened to my sword? What happened to my shield? No, you can't do that. They had a way of fastening that down. Joab takes his sword and he loosens it in the way that it was normally to be fastened. And so he sees Amasa and so he changes the way he mounts his sword on his body. You'd ask, well, now why would he do that? He had a pretty good design. And so while he's walking up to greet Amasa, bloop, his sword falls out. And so while he's walking up, you know, Amasa's faced him and they're going to greet. Okay, so Joab stoops down to pick up his sword, and when he picks it up, he doesn't sheath it right away. He continues walking toward Amasa as if to greet him, takes him by the beard to give him a kiss. Amasa paid no regard to the sword that was in his hand because he just had to pick it up off the ground. That was a mistake. And so Joab runs him through in the fifth rib and basically eviscerates him right in front of everybody. Now, it's a large troop. They are spread over a large amount of ground, so not everybody knows what's happened. But Amasa falls down right in the road where everybody's passing by. And so Joab and Abishai, they say, okay, well, that's done. Let's go get after what we're supposed to be doing, right? Got duty here. How cold, but off they go. Well, the rest of the men are following them into the battle. And when they come along and they see the body of Amasa laying on the ground, everybody stops. What happened? Who killed Amasa? Did Joab kill him? Did you hear what happened to him? What happened? And so everyone is distracted by the death of their captain, Amasa. And he's laying in the middle of the road. And, I mean, it's just all there. And so one of the captains, I assume, somebody, takes him off to the side and covers him over with a cloth so that there will be no suspicion of Joab's murder of Amasa, so that the army can be brought together and follow Joab and Abishai as they go on pursuing Sheba. So that's what the story is. The story is Joseph's murder, right? Just like Abner before. Joab murders him. Leaves him lying in the field, goes off in pursuit. He had my job. I've got it back. I've got a job to do. See you later. And heads on down the road after Sheba and leaves him there exposed on the ground, especially for a soldier. What a terrible, terrible way to behave. And so then, it's clear, we've already seen this about Joab, although Joab seems to swing back and forth in the pendulum here, we reveal Joab's true character of having absolutely no honor at all. And so Joab kills Amasa, takes his place, and one of the men takes Amasa's body by the side so that there's no more a distraction and no more a suspicion upon Joab. And so they pursue then, and they pursue all the way to the city Abel of Beth Ma'akah. It is a city with reputation. It's a city of judgment. It's a city where when Abel gives its judgment, everybody says, okay. That might be, you know, in common conversation in Israel, you know, I got this difficulty. Well, have you been to Abel? No, I haven't. Well, you know, maybe that's where you ought to go. Or, did you hear what Abel decided last week on this thing? Yeah, good decision. I mean, that's the reputation that the city had. Well, Joab, not minding that, has cast a bank against it and is going to tear it down because Sheba has found refuge in it. And so a woman comes to the top of the wall and calls out to Joab, a very wise woman, a very sagacious woman, a blessed woman. And what does she do? Well, she proposes something to Joab. She says, "Why are you going to tear down a city of reputation like Abel in Israel? Why is it in your heart to destroy and to consume?" And he says, "Well, far be it from me. That's not what the matter is. The matter is that you have Sheba in your midst. And he's a rebel. He's rebelled against the king and gathered an army and would overthrow David if he could. And so it's our job to hunt him down and to kill him. He's a rebel worthy of death." And she says, "Give me a minute." And so she goes in, and there is obviously some council held. The woman convinces the people of her city wisely to throw the head of Sheba over the wall. And so they do. And Joab, true to his word, blows the trumpet and recalls all Israel back after the threat has been eliminated. So, let's just maybe take a step back for a moment and think about Joab for a sec. We look at Joab and we wonder what an enigma of a man he is. It's at some, there are times when he says some things that are as wisdom from the oracle of God. And then there are other times where we look at what he's doing and we say, "Have you no honor?" Like at this time and at other times. What is it about Joab? How do we figure someone like Joab out? Whenever we have questions like this is just a point of wisdom for us all to remember. Whenever we have such questions about a man like Joab, it's because we don't understand yet the singular focus. What makes him tick? Once we understand what makes him tick, then we can figure out why he does what he does. You know what makes Joab tick? Here's what makes him tick. What makes him tick is he believes unflinchingly and unfailingly that he belongs at the head of the forces. He has a particular confidence in his military prowess such that there's nobody like him in the nation. And he's going to remain at the front no matter what it takes. Now, once you remember that about Joab, other things tend to fall in place. And so Joab had an idol, didn't he? The generalship was his idol, such that he was willing to do away with the law of God, to do away with the command of his king. He was willing to do one thing after another we identify them as wicked and evil things, so that he could keep after that one thing that he always pursued, and that was to be at the head of the army. You know what we call that? We call that an idol. Whatever it is that you're willing to sin to get or keep, that is your idol. That's how we identify idols in our heart. If we're willing to fudge, lie, cheat, steal, murder, gossip, slander, whatever, to keep, whatever that thing is, you may as well set it up as a statue and bow down to it, because you've made it your idol. Joab made being a general in David's army his idol. And so whatever it took, right? You can always tell when someone's dedicated to something, because whatever it takes, they're going to do it. All right, thus ends the reading then of 2 Samuel chapter 20.